Swiss chard, I put them all, and broccoli that I had in the refrigerator, put them in the Vitamix and whipped it up, and then used that as a base for a soup. And I put carrots and celery and onions, and I had some lentils, and I mean, all kinds of stuff. So I don't know what the soup's going to taste like, but it smells good.
I bet it is. I bet it'll be great.
Yeah.
That's one of the things about what the way we're eating is that you can put stuff together like that. And I think for the majority of the time, you know, with the right spices and things, it
yeah.
sounds good.
Yeah, I know. It smells good. I mean, it smells very green.
Well, I wonder why.
I don't know. But, you know, I'm saying to myself, why couldn't you, instead of, you know, boiling all of that, you know, the
back end
has arrived.
Like the ends of everything, you know, are the leaves that have been kind of like brown and whatever, not brown that you throw away, but you know what I mean? They're just like, you know,
yeah.
want to put them in your smoothie. You know, why do you have to just boil them and then take them out? You know, might as well, you know, if you blend them up, I mean, it made sense to me. I don't know if it makes sense to anybody else, but it made sense to me, so.
Well, I want to hear how it tastes.
Okay, I will definitely let you know. What spice is
doing?
I put
it's
in
so
the,
inventive. Yeah, you're inventive. That's encouraging.
Yeah, I put in mushroom seasoning, and then I put in some sea salt and some ground up pepper, and I put in Mrs. Dash table, you know, spices. I put that in. I don't know what other spices to put in there. I don't know if that's.
What are your favorite? Do you like basil or thyme or any of those?
No, I was debating whether to put, because I've got a basil plant now, you know, and I've got all these leaves, and I don't know what to do with them. So, yeah, I do like basil. Yeah, put some basil. Would I have to crush that up?
Well, you could take a little teaspoon of the soup out and take a little bite. This is what I do sometimes.
Uh-huh.
I'll take a taste of the broth or whatever and then take a little taste of the basil and
oh.
put it together in your mouth and see what you think.
Oh,
That's important. You have the fresh leaves.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a inventive way of tasting stuff. I like that.
So that way, instead of putting it in the whole batch of soup, it's fresh,
right.
We put it at the end anyway.
Right.
Towards the end.
Towards the end of it. Well, it's all cooked now. I've had it simmering for an hour, and what I was going to do is, you know, because we have a place up in New Hampshire, and I was just going to... you know, have some maybe for the next day or so, maybe today and tomorrow, and then bring the rest of it up there, you know, that we can have during the week. I can freeze some of it up there, too, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to know how it turns out.
How it turns out, I know. I'm interested.
Yeah. You're interested, too. Well, I think it
smells pretty good. Yeah.
I bet it does.
Yeah.
I heard Rebecca.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Great. Isn't this weather something?
What's happening?
Just stay cool.
Yeah? Well, that's good for the summer, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else want to say good morning? Heard a couple little has arrived. That's great. I was reading on Mercola's. I get his newsletter from time to time, and I poked around in there and found how to wean yourself off processed food in 7 steps. It came from the U.S. World News and World Report, I guess is where it came from, and then his comments on it. He's got some good way of saying things on here, I think. If you rely on processed, inexpensive foods, you will simply exchange convenience and short-term cash savings for long-term health miseries. I thought that was pretty interesting how he worded that. And then he talks about when you put the history of food into perspective, it's actually the processed foods that are radical and new. He was talking about swapping your processed food diet for one that focuses on real whole food may seem like a radical idea. but when you put the history of food into perspective, it's actually the processed foods that are radical and new. People thrived on vegetables, meats, eggs, fruits, and whole foods for centuries, while processed foods were only recently invented. It's easy to forget that processed packaged foods,
Anita,
has arrived.
Of today are actually a radical change in the terms of history of food production.
Nancy, has arrived.
Frozen food business didn't begin until the mid-20s, when the General Seafood Company set up shop and began selling crudely frozen fish fillets, and fast food restaurants didn't get a foothold until after World War II. TV dinners didn't even come around until the 50s. Before that, it was a home-cooked meal or no meal at all. How about that?
That's true, though, really. Talking about it, you know? Even ice cream. You know, even, you know, frozen treats that the kids just go right into the freezer and, you know, at the supermarket, and you get half gallons easy. And I remember as a kid,
has arrived,
but, you know, it was like a package that you would mix with something, and then you'd put it in an ice cube tray, you know, and then you'd freeze it, and that was ice cream. And I don't know, do you remember that?
Yeah.
And it was good. I mean, you know, it was good. So,
That sugar thing, I guess.
I don't think fast food restaurants and stuff took hold, strangleholds until way into the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we grew up, I don't remember seeing McDonald's or any of that other stuff.
Well, I remember the first, when I was in high school, when McDonald's opened around the corner.
So what year do you think around?
That was in the early 70s.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When we moved to North Dakota in 64, there was one McDonald's, and that was probably the first one we ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they took the stranglehold until the late 60s, early 70s. That was a gradual thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
Has left the conference.
They had a sign out front about, we sold a million hamburgers or whatever it was, and we used to watch the number go up.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that too.
Now it's a first store, probably.
Well, you know, there's another article that Mercola has about, there was a big uproar, I guess, among parents and nutritionists. Chocolate toddler formula pulled after sugar uproar. Yeah, and it's they're protesting a line of designer toddler drinks containing mostly sugar, mostly milk and sugar, and they're aimed at children as young as a year old.
Who's the manufacturer?
Mead Johnson's InfraGrow Premium.
Wonderful.
Says it contains more than 25 additives supposedly intended to boost growth, brain development, and immunity for the kids.
Has arrived.
Sugar for flavoring may contribute to childhood obesity epidemic, and the ABC News report said the company responded to the firestorm of criticism by dropping its new chocolate-flavored product, which critics have considered the worst offender with 19 grams of sugar.
Oh, wow.
In a prepared statement, Mead Johnson said that there had been, quote, some misunderstanding and mischaracterization regarding the intended consumer of the product. They intended it for ages 1 to 3. Have been weaned off of breast milk or infant formula. So Mercola is talking about, you know, sugar and corn syrup good for toddlers, and, you know, he goes into this whole thing. Toddlers are known to be picky eaters, but you must keep trying to introduce a variety of health foods nonetheless. It can take 10 to 15 times before a child will accept a new food. So if you've tried offering peas to your toddler, it wouldn't have any part of it, try again. What you want to avoid is giving in to your child's sweet fortified beverage like InfraGrow, as this will establish a pattern that your toddler will likely want to continue that.
That's interesting that you say that, because one, either the docs or Oz that I was watching within the past several days said, and it was on a white portion, children do not have to eat, they don't have to clean their plate, they don't have to eat everything on the table, but they must have one bite of everything on the table.
Mm.
And I thought that was an interesting approach.
I think
if you start when they're really young doing that, that way they will at least learn other that there are other tastes out there.
Well, Vance's youngest was delivered with an addition to sugar or a taste of sweetness. It was because of what they put in Emmy's formula when she was
formula.
In China. And they fought with it for months because she would bite her teeth together even when she started eating food if it was not something that was a carb that turned to sugar, like potatoes or rice or something of that nature. And any of the grains she could eat, but she would just bite and clamp her lips together like they couldn't get food in. Well, guess what? They did. There wasn't a choice for a seven-month-old, but it had been the formula that she had been put on.
Well, it sounds like the formula Jeannie just read about says that they have all these wonderful additives plus sugar.
The
first two ingredients are milk, and the second and the third one is sugar.
Really? But they say all these additives that are beneficial, and so people hear that. Well, of course I want to give my kid all the advantages.
That's the marketing.
Yep. That's child abuse.
It is.
Adult ignorance and child abuse, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a question about sweet banana, banana peppers? If anybody has an answer, I picked up a couple of plants. I thought when I read sweet banana peppers, I don't know what I was thinking. I thought it was a flower.
They will flower first.
And then all of a sudden now I've got these little curly cubes. They're little, but are they supposed to turn yellow?
They do. The easiest place to see them is the next time you visit a Subway, have banana peppers put on your sandwich. I would prefer them on any sandwich I eat, almost.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Now, why is, like, some of them, I mean, they have to turn yellow, don't they, before you pick them? Or,
yeah, probably. I mean,
yeah.
that's what I've done.
Some of them are brown. Some of them are a little bit of brown on them, and I don't know whether that means that they're rotting out or...
It could be a disease they've got. The tomatoes, I've seen them. I've had some that did that, too. I don't know that they were the yellow ones, but... Some of my peppers had developed it's almost a dry-looking area.
Almost purple.
Google it or take one into your nearest landscaping shop and ask them what to do about it.
Oh, really?
If it's just one part of each pepper, you can still cut that part out when you harvest them.
Right, but it tends to spread, and it would be better to get it under control if you can do it, especially if you can, you know, what you want to do is find where your, the gentleman that just took the master gardening class, look for your state representative extension service, and they have a call line, and you can call in and just describe it to them, and they'll tell you what to do. And they should be able to tell you what to do organically.
Yeah.
You have it in the ground or in a pot, Daddy?
Oh, I've got them in pots. Are you kidding me? I am so proud that I've got peppers on these pepper plants. I am quite the gardener.
Make sure they're not the ornamental type.
I was going to use them green, too. You don't have to wait till they turn yellow. But
oh, really?
I think just like your green peppers.
Oh.
I mean... They'll before they turn their color, so.
So if they turn yellow, it's just sweeter? Is that what it is?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, different flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. I'm telling you. I am being quite the gardener. I've never done this stuff before. Ja, what have you got me into?
Things soaking on my counter overnight that I've got to go out and plant this morning, so the seeds will have.
Rebecca
has left the conference.
In the Pymeg water, they'll sprout and start growing much, much faster if you soak them. Sometimes I've soaked them for 2 days, and sometimes I've even soaked them for 3 days.
What kind of seeds?
Well, I've got peas, which are late. I've got corn. I've got little broccoli. I don't usually do them that little. My Scarlet Runner beans. Beet seeds, that's really small for soaking. And did I say corn, about 3 or 4 different kinds of beans and squash.
So you just cover them with water?
Wow.
Yeah, enough water that they don't get dry when you push to the top. It's like you're soaking for, you know, for cooking or whatever.
Yeah, okra too, you especially want to soak.
Oh, I did soak the okra. Thank you. Because I look at how long it took for them to mature, and the ones that were the longest to mature. Oh, and my delicata squash, I soaked it, got it soaking too. The ones that take longer to develop or the ones I wanted to rush, like the corn.
I have a question on the three burger recipes that you talked about yesterday. I did find them. The one is the baked falafel burger. It says to use a cup of dried garbanzo beans, rinsed thoroughly. Does this mean the dry ones that we would cook separately, or that you dry like a can of them?
No, no, that's when they say dry, they mean that they're dried in a package when you buy them.
So like dried beans, peas, that's not
right,
dried.
Right, yeah.
Huh. Because those you soak for 24 hours also.
They're just wanting you to start with, I can't remember, I thought they had a comment in there about why dry. Maybe it was a footnote or something.
Said that the canned ones had too much liquid or something, it wouldn't hold together.
That's right, they were too wet.
Right.
Oh, okay.
I'll see that. Okay.
I found
scratch.
Huh?
You start them from scratch then?
Yeah. I don't remember what the website was, but it did have the three hamburgers. The three.
Basuday.com.
Thank you.
And then
I found a different artichoke the other day. It's on a stick.
Ooh.
And it says to peel the stick and eat it along with the artichoke. So I haven't eaten it yet. It took much too long to cook last night. It was a very dry. I don't know that it was supposed to be that way or not, but it cooked up fine eventually. It was like it had almost been dried in the garden. I'd never seen it before. And well, there's a good one to try, too.
What's a Scarlet Runner bean?
A Scarlet Runner is one that is more often used for decoration than it is. Nancy, I brought you some of those seeds.
Yes, I put some in this year again.
They have a beautiful, big, huge bloom, and the leaves are huge, and the beans get long. I mean, mine would be a foot long and half inch wide, and then you shell out the beans. The taste of them is strong. Did you cook any of them, Nancy?
No, so you can't use them like a string bean?
Well, I never cooked them when they were that small to
okay.
do. I don't know. I'm not going to say that because I don't think you, once they start to have little bumps in them at all, they're very wide and they're very flat. And the fiber is very, they're very stringy. They're almost like a shell on the bean.
Okay.
Real strong flavor. But they make a wonderful hedge and, you know, if you got fence or something for them to crawl on, I've even put up strings for them to crawl up on the brick wall just to cover some of the area that seemed flat looking to me. And they grow very quickly also.
So then you use them as a dried bean?
Yes, you can use them as a dried bean, but the flavor is strong in soups mainly. I've done them just with onions and seasoning for a side dish also.
Okay.
Shelling them out. And if you dry them, let them hang on the vines to dry, then that's how you replant them. And they'll dry, I mean, they can go through the frost and everything else, and they'll be fine for using to replant. Because the seeds are about, I don't know, it seems like you got 8 seeds for $2 or something. It's ridiculous. Because they're big.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. Some of them, anyway. Some of them are smaller, but
yeah, they're big.
And I would keep them going if you plant them, and let some of them go to seed and then use them out of them, because I don't know how many years that they'll still germinate. I notice a lot of my seeds, you know, a year later, they're less germination. Although I did, we'll see if the sweet meat squash reproduces the way it's supposed to. I had pretty good germination. I had the ones I planted in the window of the motorhome when we were driving home. Out of 12 seeds, nine of them germinated finally. But the real difference in the time that they came up, huge difference. I mean, like 3 weeks, 3 weeks at least. Mm-hmm. From one popping through the ground to the next one popping through. I mean, you know, a bunch of them came up at the beginning, and then several of them, and then there was nothing. I mean, I told Danny, I said, well, these didn't have very good germination because I only got three out of a dozen. And like 2 weeks later, here comes another one.
They have their own DNA to decide when they're supposed to do what.
And with the same amount of dirt over them, and the seeds all looked about the same size, too. So I don't, you know.
Go figure.
Yeah, I guess you don't figure those.
Nature has its own schedule.
Yeah. Like you said, Dottie, gardening's a learning curve. Always something new. I've got a new bug trap set in here as a demo from our friend that's the master gardener. He says, get these suckers before they take over your garden. They'll take out all your vegetables.
Oops.
A new breed of bug.
There was a thing on TV this morning about importing ladybugs. They love to eat a lot of the bad things in the garden. See that?
Praying mantis and ladybugs.
Praying mantis, so, yeah.
They're coming in at our local store. You buy them by the ladybugs by the 500, and you buy the praying mantis by the 100. They're like $4.99 for one and $6 for the other. And I said, that sounds like a cheap prevention.
Mm-hmm.
They have them even in Arizona. I've seen them at the garden shop.
They are cool.
Ladybugs, yeah.
The way you can tell a good bug from a bad bug, bad bugs have little mouths. Good bugs have big mouths.
Really?
Yeah, I never knew that.
Okay.
Good bugs have big mouths?
Yes, because they're eating the bad bugs. Little bugs are just sucking off of the plants, so they just have little mouths.
And the ladybugs eat the larva before it's either even hatched.
Yeah.
They showed a container of ladybugs.
Okay.
Yep, Rebecca is back.
It's arrived.
God did a wonderful job on creation, didn't he?
And then man came in with all the chemicals.
Yep, we're the ones that screwed it up.
Interesting. Yeah, I use them for our roses. I don't have vegetables. I get those bad
things. Make rose hips.
It could make rose hips.
Your entry has been canceled, returning you to the previous menu.
What?
What was that? Okay.
I don't know.
Welcome to free conference. Please input your access code followed by the pound key.
I don't think that was me.
No,
unless I leaned against something. Maybe. I'm at the kitchen sink.
Anybody else?
Rebecca's back?
Has left the conference.
Oh.
She's coming and going, huh?
Yeah.
There's a recipe here I want to try. I haven't tried it yet. I got some quinoa. I will try it. I don't have one of the ingredients. It's in the Vegetarian Times magazine. The March issue, too. Gingery quinoa salad with apple, peas, and coconut.
Ooh,
sounded so good.
Rebecca?
Oh, arrived.
Hi, Rebecca.
Are you there, Rebecca?
Yeah, I don't know if it was me or not. I decided to come in again.
Okay. Oh, well, we're glad you're back. We were worried about you.
Thanks. I'm glad somebody's worried about me.
But this one has, this, I was talking about a gingery quinoa salad with apple seeds and coconut, and it has, you put a juice with it, which is beet carrot or carrot juice, 1.5 cups. And I didn't have any beet carrots or carrots to make some juice. I could make some in my Vitamix. So I'm going to try this, and I'll let you guys know.
What page is that on, Jeannie?
Oh, it is. It's on page 55. It's in that chef's guide to frozen vegetables thing. It's one of the frozen vegetables. It's frozen seeds, and that's one of the ingredients in it. It has almonds, onion, ginger, quinoa, that juice, frozen peas, apple, and then some unsweetened shredded coconut. And it looks really good. They used red quinoa on here.
And that was a salad, you said, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like a main course salad almost, huh?
Mm-hmm. And it says vegetable juice gives this grain salad a gorgeous color. Oh, it's the beet carrot that colored the quinoa. Okay. A hint of flavor and a hefty boost of vitamin C and beta carotene.
Jeannie, I have a question. Did you have a recipe that did spinach in like a tofu scramble or something for breakfast that you've done?
I'm sure I've used spinach in the tofu scramble, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if I have a recipe for it or not.
Okay. I just think I'm thinking I've got some extra spinach that's ripening, maturing fast, and I need to use it.
Maturing quickly.
It should be kind in there.
Yeah, I think it would be, too.
Don't you use it in your smoothie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I am using it in the smoothie, but you get different things out of it, you know, when you cook it, so.
Mm-hmm. I talked about that yesterday a bit.
Did he?
Yeah, about he had the David Katz on, and a long thing, I'll go over on Tuesday, I guess. But he talked a lot about broccoli is another one that's good to lightly steam, as well as tomato.
Yeah. See, and I like the color of it when you just shoot it with steam. It's not cooked. It's just like 1 minute.
Yeah.
It looks so much brighter, and it holds the color, and, you know, it doesn't look, you know, like sometimes if it sets, it can look dry for another serving if you've got left over. Yeah, never mind.
Nutrients are released when you lightly do that. Did you know that garlic doesn't smell until you cut it?
Yeah. Or crush it, huh?
Until, yeah, and you should aim for a head of garlic a week.
Yeah. I'd probably do that. Of course, that's between two of us, so.
Yeah, that's a lot of garlic. Even for me.
I was going to say, you're getting that, Nancy?
Well, if I put a whole head in pasta, and depending on how big the things are and everything, I don't eat much of it raw.
I did it raw in my
talking
salad.
About raw?
Mm-hmm. Didn't say anything about raw versus cooked, but it definitely doesn't smell until you cut it. You put raw in your salad?
I did last night, yeah. Occasionally I do, and I thought maybe it was going to taste strong. It didn't at all.
Really, I'm not real crazy about the raw taste.
It was in the Mediterranean salad. You couldn't even tell it was in
there. Okay.
Yeah,
so Ricky, what you do with that salad, yeah.
Ricky's mom sometimes will, in her salad dressing, she'll mince it up or grate it in the salad dressing. She usually does lemon juice, olive oil, a little red wine vinegar maybe, or lemon instead, with mint, and she usually puts a little Italian seasoning, I think, in there too.
Is this celery crunching through the knife through it bothering you guys? Can you hear it?
No.
Okay.
You're doing a good job.
I'm
not banging it away. I have a question. I have a friend that had, maybe you guys can help. I don't know I haven't really talked to him yet about it, but he sends out emails about his update. He had the gastric bypass surgery done, and he's lost like 55, I think, or 60 pounds, and he's on a plateau now. He's here working the fair. But his latest email, and he's looking really good. He's a really big man. He's very tall, and always been really big. But anyway, he said the last couple of weeks have been pretty boring and not losing any weight. He's still walking. not eating much, and he can't figure out why he's not losing weight. Of course, he can only eat a small amount, you know. And he said he thinks his body's fighting the starvation. And he's noticing that he's getting swollen with fluids. He used to wear support socks all the time, but he hasn't worn them for a couple of months, but now they're starting to swell again, and he thinks maybe it's too much salt in the food he's eating.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's the handful of peanuts I'm eating for the protein. So,
especially if they're salted, huh?
Yeah. And, you know, we're here at the fair, and I don't know. It was just, I was wanting to talk with him, maybe, or ask him if he has, you know.
Drinking enough water?
Yeah, probably water, and probably, I know he eats protein bars or a little bit of, and it's probably not the best kind. He's not very,
well, yeah, the protein.
He's been for years.
Oh. I bet the green smoothie would do wonders.
Yeah.
Instead of the protein bar.
I know.
Would be my first thought.
Mm-hmm. I have to introduce that to him. I know he's not a... When he had a choice of having a little bit more lasagna versus having some more broccoli, when he was overeating, you know, and he can't eat a lot, so he goes, I'd rather, if I'm going to have more, I'd rather have the lasagna.
So he's learned a lot through the surgery, huh?
I think so. We start to consider.
Oh, my gosh. I thought it was bad now having classes for people who have had surgery so that they start to get better control of what put them there in the first place.
Right.
Yeah, having the surgery doesn't get the control, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
No, your mind is still there, and you can't still eat just the...
Yeah. Al Roker is a prime example. I don't know what he's doing now, but it looks great.
Mm-hmm.
He's exercising and doing a lot of other things, I think. So.
It has to also do with what he's putting in his mouth, though, Anita. I mean, he cannot exercise weight off.
Right. No, that's true.
Good combination there.
Yeah.
So, okay.
And you have to get your mind on straight. Now, you know, if your head's off, forget the rest of it.
They talked on Oprah one time about people that had that surgery, and they said that, you know, they're addicted to food, and so then they turn to other addictions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Anyway, yeah, I would love to introduce them to that.
Very often when people get on plateaus for an extended amount of time, like you said, they're not getting enough food.
Mm-hmm.
And their body goes into starvation. However, another thing that I talked about yesterday or the day before was, or what's it called, where you restrict your calories. And you don't have to restrict a lot to see a difference, but you live longer if you do. Even 300 calories a day, I think they said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting. And then he put this bowl of tortilla chips in the middle of the table and says, well, if you take two handfuls of those, well, that adds back that 300 calories.
Mm-hmm. You don't realize what you're doing when you're picking all day.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's why I made those toasted chickpeas, because I was sitting here picking on, I mean, I had some cashews, but you know, you shouldn't eat a whole cashew throughout the day. Anyway.
I need to learn to have carrot sticks in the fridge so I can munch on them during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I don't munch much, but anyway.
Carrot and celery.
Mm-hmm.
I always like celery. It's crunchy.
And as they say,
and remember, your choice of snack is water.
That's what I was just going to say, as they say the name.
Forget the food. No food in between.
Have water, yeah.
Yeah.
Hard one to change.
It is a huge one to change as far as I'm concerned, but you know, anything's possible.
Yeah. I guess if we live long enough.
Has left the conference.
Definitely so.
I got tickled with my husband last evening. He had had a good supper earlier, and then later, about 8:30 or so, I caught him with a cheese sandwich in the living room, and then usually he has a bowl of ice cream yet before he goes to bed, but he did skip the ice cream last night.
At least he made it himself.
Yes, he did.
That's a good thing.
But some nights he almost eats a fourth meal then before he goes to bed. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I found the fooddate.com. Good. I'm going to look up those burgers and stuff. I meant to do that yesterday. I didn't do that.
Yeah, it says Veggie Burgers Every Which Way was the title of it or something.
Okay. That's his book, I think.
I guess that's the book, yeah.
There's a place to click on to get the three recipes.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Anybody else have any more comments? Questions? Anything? Okay. Well, I've got to run here.
Yeah, good call, like always.
I appreciate all of you being on. Thank you for your comments, too. I learned so much from everybody's interaction. Isn't that fun?
Yeah, it is.
It really is. Have a wonderful day, rest of it, and we'll look for you tomorrow.
Thank you, Jeannie.
Thanks. All right, thank you. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.